sugar and spice. I feel nice, like sugar and spice. So nice, so nice, I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but with us, as always, the man who knows everything, Mr. Smarty Pants.
I do, and I have everything, too. Sitting there in the shower. Shut up, monkey mind. It won't shut up.
I had a terrible time sleeping about a week ago. And I don't sleep the greatest anyway, but this is the worst I've had in years. And it was the monkey mind. It just wouldn't shut down.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, 4 a.m. and it's like, sure, I hadn't been to sleep yet. And it's like, come on. And, you know, then the other part of your brain starts calculating. It's like, well, if you fall asleep now, you'll get 2.5 hours sleep.
My God.
Then you're really boned.
Yeah.
Might as well just get up and have some coffee.
Yeah. Well, that's what I did this morning. It's funny you should say that. Yeah. So I just got up and I got up at about 3.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. I got up at 3 and I can't say that I was been awake the whole time. I took a short nap, but
yeah.
But yeah, I do that. My brain just
you
always.
And Clarence, you and Clarence Thomas.
Yeah. We're like 2 peas in a pod. No, I don't know. I was thinking about this, that, and t'other. Probably it's a little bit of pre-trip anxiety because Companion and I are going to be leaving tomorrow. We'll be back in time for the show next week, but we're going to be gone for a few days. I'm going to be visiting my aunt in Columbus, Ohio. So,
oh, okay,
that'll be fun. Let's see how she's doing. And her cat, Buttercup. I've talked about Buttercup on the air. Yeah. So I got her a little. I've seen this little book in stores for ages, and I thought I should get this for somebody, but I didn't until my aunt inherited Buttercup. Buttercup is for those of you who didn't hear me talking about Buttercup before. Buttercup is this quite elderly, very cranky cat, was missing an eye and part of its fur's coming off, and it poops in inappropriate places. As my aunt was describing it to me the day that it took a big wild poop right in front of the television while my aunt was watching something on PBS. She described that as the height of its artistry.
Everybody's a critic.
Yeah, everybody's a critic. But there's a book of cat poems called I Think I'll Pee on That. I thought she'd appreciate getting that. So that's my little present to her when I go see her. So. But so we're going to be doing that. And how are you about driving? Because I'm not really I didn't learn to drive till I was an adult, right? Not surprisingly.
Right.
And I've never been that good at it. Everything I do is too front brain for me to feel comfortable driving. It's like too much input all at once.
Yeah.
How are you with driving?
I'm okay. I'm not my favorite thing, but I do it a lot. I just put music on or Wart or something, and then I forget that I'm driving. And
that's
just
good. That's
just
good.
Close my eyes.
I just can't help but think it's after drinking tap water, it's the most dangerous thing you can do in a day. It's kind of, people drive. There's been a lot of many stories about the acceleration of speed that people have been driving start driving faster during the pandemic, originally because there weren't many people on the road. So those who had it felt it doesn't make any difference. But now we're all, there's the so-called fallacy of slippery slope. You say, well, inevitably it'll get, worse if you do this thing. And it's like, that supposedly is a logical fallacy. But with people, it always works that way. It's just like, we ramped it up and we stayed there. And now we're going to ramp it up some more.
I heard that old song, I think, forget who did it, Sammy Hagar or somebody like that, that I can't drive 55.
Yeah.
Remember that? It's like, well, nobody can.
I mean, it's just simple physics. Like, the faster you go, the more likely when you stop quickly that something bad will happen.
Yeah.
But apparently that simple physics, the American public is not really too keen on, I guess.
So they're driving really fast so they can get to the gas station.
Oh, well, there you go. That'll help.
The last time I traveled somewhere, people were going like 80, 85 on the interstate.
Yeah.
I mean, and that burns a lot of gas.
It does.
I mean, I like to go fast.
Especially when everybody's
driving
an SUV.
Well, yeah, that too. So, anyway.
Two things you can do to help the world. Get rid of your SUV and stop eating so much meat. Those two things right there would help tremendously. just a little word to the wise.
All right. Well, we'll start doing that.
So what you up to?
I don't know. I took Clopsy on a long walk this morning. Actually, longer than I expected. I kind of missed my turnaround point and ended up walking about 6 miles.
Did you have a minor stroke or something? What was going on there?
I don't know. I just spaced out. We were walking on one of the bike trails out in the country out by the land of Fitchburg.
Oh, yeah, the mythical land of Fitchburg.
With the purple skies and the lollipop trees. Yeah. and
the putter rainbow at the end of the whatever.
The chocolate spiders. Yeah. But I don't know, for some reason I missed the... It, and they have like mile markers on the bike path. And I missed the one I was going to use to turn around. And all of a sudden things started looking kind of... unfamiliar. It's like, oh, I'm in Belleville.
You're a power walker.
So I'm a little toasty, and it made me a little bit late, so I had to rush to get down here.
Oh, okay. All right. You seem very calm and collected when you came in.
I kind of wiped out, as soon as I got home, my kid goes, they overturned Roe v. Wade. And I know. I was like,
oh, did they?
Yeah. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
You did not?
I was busy with my book club this morning. We were talking about war and peace and what's going to happen to Prince Andrei next. Oh. I tried to bury myself. No. It's inevitable, it's happened.
It's official, yeah.
Wow. Wow. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. So.
Golly.
It's hard to do shows on days like this.
No, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I really literally don't.
I mean, you know... We saw this coming. I mean, it's been a train wreck coming for years. I mean, decades, really. I mean, they've been chipping away at it forever,
right.
And then they've been chipping away at the Supreme Court and the legitimacy of the Supreme Court. I mean, they've got such cronies in place now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Senator Manchin sent out a statement today that he was upset because two of the people that Kegbro
Kegbro
Gorsuch.
Yeah. Emphasis on the suck.
Yeah. He said, during the hearings, they said that they would support Roe v. Wade and that it was established law. And so I'm very disappointed that,
that's what they call the holy lie. The holy lie. It's that you can lie if it's for better purpose, greater purpose.
But we knew they were lying. I assume that Senator Manchin knows they were lying too. But doesn't want to but wants to kind of work.
I'm shocked by this.
Work both sides of the fence like he does.
I really it's weird, Mel. I'm one of those people where we all saw it coming, and as you said, for most of our adult lives, this has been tending towards this, and you think, well, now we're in the clear for a little while, and then it moves a little further, and so on.
Yeah.
But now here it is. I really don't know what to say.
Yeah.
In a
concurring opinion, Clarence Thomas writes that the Supreme Court should consider Griswold, Lawrence and Obergefell,
of course,
the rulings that now protect contraception, same-sex relationships, and same-sex marriage.
Oh yeah, that's the slippery slope, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they cited as their legal reasoning that again, because I'm in the dark on this, so let me know. Do they cite it as their legal reasoning what was in the draft document, which there's no right to privacy implied by the?
Yeah, I think it was just
the rights that are enumerated. I mean, the original thing was...
They just codified that.
Yeah, they basically said, the original Roe v. Wade was, if you were in a state of nature before you entered into a social contract, what rights would you be willing to give up in order to go in that social contract? And the idea was, well, this doesn't seem like a right that a woman would be willing to give up to get into a social contract, control of their body. And so unless there were another person involved. And then they argued, well, as far as we can tell, going all the way back, we've never treated either criminally or in common law fetuses as persons. So, I guess this is okay. And the idea was that, it doesn't say there is a right to this, but it does say that there are rights that are not enumerated. Just because we haven't enumerated a right doesn't mean it's not there. And there's a theory about how rights work, which is implied by the document. And we know what that is because it was very common in the 18th century, which is this idea of what kind of natural rights people would have before they went into a contractual situation with others. So it seems to me the legal reasoning for that was pretty darn good. I really need to read the document because I can't imagine how they would say that is not now no longer operative.
Because I think is
because I know I know
it's because as we've said before, they work backwards now. I mean, right. they decide what they want and then they rationalize it. They don't justify it.
Right. So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, every single story I have in front of me now sort of pales in comparison. I mean, it's not just the issue itself, as incredibly, incredibly important as it is, but what it says about the kind of society that we've now decided we're going to have, which is one which, in essence, one in which religious freedom is actually doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it really boils down to, because this is an issue about basic questions about basic ethical and metaphysical questions, which are not resolvable within a legal system. And but someone just did.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, the court's been on a roll this week. I mean, they ruled that Maine had to provide funding for, I'm really boiling this down, I'm probably not getting it right, but had to provide funding for private schools.
Yeah.
And for religious schools.
Right. Yeah.
And they chipped away at the Miranda rights.
Right.
They said that if you're not read your Miranda rights, you can't come back later and sue in like a civil case. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's still, you still can't, they can still throw everything out in the criminal case. If,
right.
You know, if you're not, told you could, be silent. And,
yeah.
But if you come back later and say, well, they convicted me, wrongfully.
Right.
And I'm going to sue over that, or at least, detained me. I mean, because a lot of people get arrested and they get detained a long time, even if they're acquitted later, just because they can't pay the bail or because they aren't given bail.
My dad was once detained by the police for 2 days. We had no idea where he was.
Oh, really?
Because he apparently looked like someone that they thought was doing something. And we were all like frantic, like what happened to him? And they just kept him, I don't know what the legal cover for it was, but they kept him on suspicion or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then somebody thank goodness, the person who actually had, done the crime, or someone else fitting that description.
Mm-hmm.
Did another crime and they let him go. I do remember the police cruiser pulling up at the door.
Oh.
It was like 2 days. My mother was like, what, did he run away from home? Join the circus? I mean, what's going on? I mean, we really literally had no idea. And there was, they didn't compensate him. They didn't, they probably said, I'm sorry, but that was about it.
A lot of times they don't even do that anymore because that's it. This was a long time ago, but I mean, nowadays they don't even say I'm sorry because that's an admission of some sort of wrongdoing, and then that can come back. They can cite that in a civil case, but the police. I was reading about criminal justice and the history of criminal justice, and back around the 1900s, early 1900s, the criminal justice system was essentially rounding up the usual suspects and then beating them until somebody confessed.
Sure. You can even see that in old movies, where they basically, except it's always portrayed as being, we all know that person's guilty.
Right.
And,
right.
It's just that he's got the whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The stuff to do it, the treatment that they handed out, and even in old movies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a trope in modern cop shows too, where they know the guy's guilty, and then they turn the camera off, and the tough hero cop goes in there and beats it out of him.
Ugh, golly gosh!
But I mean, these are fundamental things. I mean, the Roe v. Wade, the Miranda, the separation of church and state.
Right.
These are big things that they're blowing up right now.
Yeah. With this,
essentially, what's an illegitimate court, too. I mean,
so. Well, you know, you're living in a third world country when one election makes a basic difference to the fabric of your society. I mean, this is what happened to us in 2010. We've never recovered in Wisconsin from 2010.
Yeah.
We had one basically census lineup with an election that was bad for the Democrats. And now we have, according to the Conservative Political Action Committee, the second most conservative legislature in the United States.
Yeah.
So you look at something
and
that.
And it's not representative at all.
Well, that's the whole point. Yeah, exactly. You lose that one, that year when they do the redistricting, and then they set it up for 10 years to be radically unrepresentative. And then guess what happens? They're in power when it happens again. And it's perpetuated.
Yeah. You know, you fix the game, then just keep fixing the game every time, you know, because you own the refs at that point.
Right. And so. Well, that's the modern tactic, right, for these authoritarian leaders is it's all a show of democracy. It's all show of right, you know, exercising rights and so on. And then behind the scenes, you know, it's always, you know, pulling the rabbit out of the hat is the boring part. It's how you get it in the hat in the first place. It's especially interesting. And the Republicans, got to give them credit. They're good at getting the rabbit in the hat,
yeah,
you know.
So, well, I remember, you know, during the Soviet era, we all had a good laugh whenever they would have their elections, you know, their quote elections. Yeah. And then the incumbent would get 99% of the votes and it'd be, ha, 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 look at how silly they are.
Well, to be honest, I have to say, I was elected to a post at where I work and the vote was 77-1, and I really wanted to know who that one was. It's like, now I know what Saddam Hussein felt like. It's like, all right, who voted against me? Who is that one person? Give me their name.
You must purge the unbeliever.
You must purge. Yes, it's time for the purge. Wasn't so-and-so in that picture? Yeah, well. Oh, dear, 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 dear. I think, again, we can't say anything that hasn't been said a million times before, and there's no funny way to talk about this. Wow. I wish I'd known this before I came in. I would have thought
I thought you knew.
Mm-hmm. I was a media blackout. I was just doing a crossword puzzle and again, talking with my friend about War and Peace.
Mm.
So this just came down this morning.
Yeah, so.
In giant headlines.
I think they were scheduled to break it at 9 o'clock this morning. I don't know if they stayed on time or not. But they say I was out too, but just got a call from my kids.
Oh, right. Yeah. I need to get a kid.
Yeah, there you go.
Coming to keep me apprised.
They keep track of it. Yeah. TikTok and stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Real news.
Yeah. I'm still looking at scrolls.
Well, let's take a little break and then just kind of reset.
Yeah, I got to process a little bit.
Yeah, we're
Thanks.
Caught you off guard here. So.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. And we're back. We do have an announcement to make here.
Yes. I really want to thank Helena for calling in and letting us know that there is a rally today from 5 to 8 p.m. on the State Street steps of the Capitol in support of Roe v. Wade. And in support of what? In support of a woman having a right to make choices for her own body, in support of religious freedom, the good faith effort that we all make to try to figure out what is right and wrong in the world within parameters that are sometimes uncertain, the right of the government to not tell you what to do, to compel you to reproduce, perhaps against your will. That's what this is all about. So, rally today from 5 to 8 p.m., State Street, steps of the Capitol, in support of Roe v. Wade.
Okay. We'll announce that again later, too, and then, as you said, the Jaguar can do that.
So. Yep. So, let me think about this. On the lighter side, I was amused by, and maybe you were too, the revelations about Michael Gableman. Did you hear about this?
Oh, my God.
This is the former State Supreme Court Justice. He testified yesterday in court. Now, this guy, he was getting $11,000 a month. He was getting paid by the state of Wisconsin to look into whether there was election fraud. And, of course, he was doing that primarily, Robin Voss appointed the guy basically because Trump was putting pressure on him. But so apparently He was working on a now-deleted personal email account, and he was working out of a public library because he doesn't have a laptop, he said. And he was regularly discarding records even after requests had emerged that he, you know, submit these under the state's open records law. And I think the thing that really kind of put the icing on the cake for me is when he was in court this yesterday,
mm-hmm.
he had to ask the judge for her to lend him her reading glasses so he could. It's like,
what's this guy, a hobo?
I don't know what the deal is here.
Can I have some money for the parking meter?
Yeah, if you really could. Do you validate parking? He hands it to her.
Not having a laptop seems like a pretty low bar for like a lawyer. I mean, whatever he is.
Whatever he is.
I assume he's a
lawyer. He did attend a couple of meetings, apparently.
Oh, good for him.
One of them was hosted by Mike Lindell.
Oh,
it was real high level discussion.
You know, you can get a Chromebook for like $150. I mean, but yeah, when he was using the library computer, that to me was the best.
Just want to let you know that 6 weeks before the primary elections for state and federal offices, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, is warning voters to beware of election-related mailings. So there's a bunch down there, some interesting people down in Austin that run something called the Election Mail Service, and they send mail to people and tell them they're not registered to vote.
Mm.
And it directs them to that they can automatically, apparently, this is a mailer. I guess it's a mailer they send out. They can automatically register to vote with this bogus election mail service.
Oh, no.
So the mailer is being sent to many people who've already registered to vote, who've requested absentee ballots. And the commission does not process voter registration forms. Under state law, there's only one person whose job that is, and that is your local municipal clerk. And there's 1,850 of those in Wisconsin, so I think we can get it done without Austin helping us out. The deadline to request an absentee ballot is August 9th. The primary election is August 4th. So let's see. The Post Office, U.S. Postal Service, advises voters to mail their ballots at least 1 week ahead of the election so they arrive at clerks' offices on time. So you might want to do that if you're going to do absentee. The general election is November 8th. So political groups and independents are allowed to send up voter registration and absentee ballot request forms. But be careful because there's people out there that are trying to, just like they're trying to undermine all of your other rights, trying to undermine your right to vote.
So the other big story this week, of course, was the hearings on the January 6th attack on democracy or whatever you want to call it. I like that a lot of the names came out of people who requested pardons.
Yeah.
And one was Matt Gaetz.
Yeah.
And his request was that it be... that would cover any and all things I've done from the beginning of time to now.
Yeah, yeah. He wanted the Nixon plus. You know, Gerald Ford pardoned Nixon for any crimes he may have committed. I guess like alternate universe Nixon was also pardoned in that. But Gates, obviously Gates said other things that were on his mind at that moment.
Just in case something comes up. So.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it would be.
Marjorie Taylor Greene was also one of the representatives requesting
a
pardon.
Scurrilous lie, she said.
And,
except she didn't know what scurrilous was.
she assumed office on January 3rd and requested a pardon 3 days later.
Wow.
She hit the ground running on that job, I guess.
Exactly. Hey, I got to say that the story I'm keeping my eye on, and I know you probably will be too, is the Alabama Republican Representative Mo Brooks. Because remember, good old Mo, he lost Donald Trump's endorsement.
Right.
Because he said that maybe we could just kind of move on from the whole 2020 thing. Maybe. And I'm not putting it out there. I'm just saying, you know, if you like. And so It really does let you know that these people don't believe this stuff. Now, the boots on the ground, maybe some of the people further down the ranks do believe some of these crazy conspiracy theories. But the elites that are manipulating them, it's just a means to power, right?
Yeah.
And the minute he realized, hey, I can't get anything doing this crazy thing, he's apparently indicated like to testify against Trump at all at the January 6th meeting.
Well, Trump endorsed him originally and then withdrew his endorsement and got mad at him.
And he lost his runoff by like 25 percentage points.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. It was big time.
Wow.
So Trump did have some pull there in Alabama, not surprisingly.
Yeah.
And Mo did not kiss up enough, apparently, and that's what happened. So now Mo is bad. He's the.
It's like wrestling. He's
on the other side.
He's a good guy, and then he's a bad guy.
I think there's going to be a lot of revenge porn that's going to be coming out. It's my guess, but this is my theory. And I mentioned the CPAC rankings. Wisconsin Republican state lawmakers have been declared the second most conservative in the nation. This is what happens when you relax your vigilance for five freaking seconds in the modern political world. State rankings provided on Wednesday indicate that Wisconsin legislative Republicans received an average conservative rating of 91.5%. And there's only one other state legislature that's wackier than ours. Can you guess who it is? That's right. It's Florida.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There were too many. I couldn't.
The latest ranking, by the way, came just before the Republicans in the legislature were prepared to reject a special session. The special session, you may recall, was called by Governor Evers, and it's seeking to repeal Wisconsin's abortion ban. An 1849 law, as fresh as yesterday, that's remained on the books, but has sat dormant since 1973. So apparently it is now in place.
You can treat people with leeches, though, according to that law. So I think we're good with that.
So. I just mentioned that among the Republicans, State Senate President Chris Kapenga, Republican of Delafield, had the highest rating, 95%. And not to make any trouble for this guy, but Senator Robert Coles, Republican of Green Bay, was only 76% in the tank.
Unbeliever. Yes.
That guy needs to drink more Kool-Aid.
Here was a New York Times article this week that said the January 6th committee's public hearings, with their clear, uninterrupted narratives about Donald Trump's efforts to undermine the peaceful transfer of power, have left some pro-Trump Republicans regretting a decision to boycott the panel.
Yeah.
So that's their takeaway from this, that we should have gone in there and gummed up the works.
It would have disrupted
Not that it's a bad idea to, try to overthrow.
They're getting their message out. That's not good.
Yeah. So that's the lesson they learned is that, not that that we shouldn't overthrow the government and.
Well, I was about to say here are some promising things, but, who knows how long any of this will last. The Biden administration yesterday proposed new rules governing how schools respond to sex discrimination, which is a change from some of the alterations that were made, of course, under the Trump administration. The proposal would overhaul expansive rules finalized under former Education Secretary Betsy DeVos.
Oh, Betsy.
Which for the first time codified how universities, colleges, and K-12 schools investigated sex assault. And according to the Education Secretary, Miguel A. Cardona, it is the Department of Education's responsibility to ensure that all our students can learn, grow, and thrive in school no matter where they live, who they are, whom they love, or how they identify. Oh, how quaint that is.
Oh. All right, we're going to take a brief break, play some announcements, and then come back with...
More sadness.
More tears.
And we're back. Hey, it had to happen. The Securities Exchange Commission late last week approved an exchange-traded fund from the investment manager ProShares. And what it is, it's a mechanism by which skeptics can bet against Bitcoin on the New York Stock Exchange. That's right. As Bitcoin plummets in value, if you bet against Bitcoin and you go through this investment manager ProShares, your stocks will go up in value. Your fund will go up in value. Over the weekend, Bitcoin's price fell below 20,000 for the first time in 2 years, and it even went below 18,000 at one point before climbing back up. But the new fund, the ProShares Short Bitcoin Strategy, this is a strategy that people use, of course, in order to make money. You can bet on anything, basically, and sure. That's what the stock market is. It places wagers on futures contracts on the Chicago Mercantile that pay off when the price of Bitcoin dips. The last fall, the same firm started the first Bitcoin futures, which bets that prices will rise. But now they've looked at it and they said, you know what? We should cover both sides of that bet. Gotta love it. Here's a scary story about capitalism. One of the things that is really upsetting investors right now, the sweeping new law that cracks down on forced labor in China. People are worried, and this just tells you everything you need to know, that the Chinese not being able to force ethnic minorities to labor against their will, what's typically called slavery, will make a huge difference to American consumers. How many of your products are slave labor brand? Well, that's what we really don't know at this point. The law went into effect on Tuesday, and it bars products from entering the U.S. if they have any links with Xinjiang, the far western region where the Chinese authorities have carried out an extensive crackdown on the Uyghur Muslims and other non-Han ethnic minorities.
Wow. I was thinking this morning about Amazon, and speaking of slave labor,
slave labor brand, ask for it by name.
and how they work so hard to keep unions out of their you know sphere.
Yeah,
and it's like, you're already rich, Jeff. I mean, you're a billionaire. You can shoot, you know, penis-shaped rockets to the to the outer space.
Yeah.
You know, what? How much more do you want? I mean, the downside of having, if everybody in Amazon, you know, joined a union, you have to pay them some more and maybe improve working conditions.
Yeah.
And Jeff, you're still a multi billionaire.
But I'm not as much of a multi-billionaire. I've got everything, but not everything.
That guy might have more than me.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that's the downside, is that you pay them some more, and they have, maybe have nicer working conditions, and, you know, you can't, you know, fire somebody because they didn't laugh at your joke or something.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the federal labor regulators have asked a court to force Starbucks to stop what they say is extensive illegal activity in response to the nationwide unionization campaign.
Yeah, same thing there.
Yeah. This petition was filed Tuesday this week in the U.S. District Court in Buffalo. Remember, Buffalo is where they fed the first two union shops. And officials with the National Labor Relations Board accused the company of firing and disciplining union and union-supporting members. So, seeking reinstatement of seven of the union organizers who were fired.
So, you were talking about Bitcoin earlier. There's a lot of different kind of crypto coins, though. It's not not just Bitcoin.
No.
And here was one that was created and specially targeted toward QAnon people.
Oh, God.
And then here's the headline. QAnon crypto trading scheme lost investors millions.
By the way, there's a wall I'm building along the southern border you might want to get invested in.
Oh, no.
Wow.
A video obtained by News 4 in Washington, D.C. shows a number of people on dirt bikes and ATVs riding on the National Mall on Sunday night. Riders can be seen on the street, on a sidewalk, and then on the grass near the Washington Monument. U.S. Park police officers responded, but the ATVs left the area prior to any law enforcement intervention.
Wow.
Yeehaw! We're taking our ATVs on the National Mall.
Idiocracy. So another thing from the Biden administration again. This will last in a couple years here. The Biden administration is throwing out the definition of habitat for endangered animals. Returning to an understanding of this concept that existed, guess what? It's before DPT, DJT, before the government under Donald Trump shrank the areas that could be protected for animals threatened with extinction. So they took out a single sentence from the regulations. This was the United States Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. So fisheries will once again protect a critical habitat, even if it had become unsuitable because of development or other changes.
The 89er Theater in Kingfisher, Oklahoma, is posting a warning about a brief gay kiss featured in Pixar's Lightyear.
Yeah.
A sign was posted on the window.
Okay. It's not a real kiss because they're animated, first of all. Like, no actual humans are kissing, but apparently the representation of it is enough.
Wait till you hear the sign. The sign was posted on the window of the theater during the movie's opening weekend.
It's two female characters, right?
I think so, yeah. So, warning moviegoers about the gay kiss, and it said the theater would do all we can to fast forward through the scene.
Makes me want to see it all the more now.
In slow-mo.
Right? Yeah, what? Because nothing turns me on like cartoon characters. I don't know.
It's one thing to put up a little yeah. disclaimer, yeah, a little word, yeah. but to say we're going to try to fast forward through it.
Avert your eyes. Wow. All right. Golly gosh. Let's see. Here's a nice little pleasant story.
should we do nice things?
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like that. This is Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is moving one step closer to finally getting her signature on the money.
Oh, good.
Because we haven't had a treasurer of the United States. And so President Biden appointed one on Tuesday. Her name is Marilyn Malerba. She's chief of the Mohegan tribe, so she'll be the first Native American to hold this job.
Oh,
this job
very
is
cool.
Treasurer of the United States. And that's different from the Secretary of the Treasury. It's a different job. It's one of the original four officers that worked for the Secretary of Treasury going all the way back to 1789.
It's similar, but you have to bring the donuts on Fridays. Yeah.
Yeah. Alexander Hamilton said, I'm not bringing any donuts. I'm sorry. Ichabod, you're doing it. That's how it got started.
The founding fathers are never wrong.
They're never wrong. That's right. So basically they needed to, because I don't know if you ever looked at the money, but it's co-signed by the Secretary of the Treasury and the Treasurer of the United States. Yeah. So she hasn't been able
to keep them honest.
Exactly. They're keeping an eye on things. So she hasn't been able to affix her signature to any of our greenbacks until she had somebody else to help her sign the bills. So both signatures have to be added to new series of currency in circulation. So, and they have to both do it at the same time. It's kind of like in Star Trek, you know, where they have to get everybody to self-destruct the spaceship at the same time. Steve Mnuchin, remember Steve Mnuchin?
Oh, yeah.
He was the Treasury Secretary under President Donald Trump. And when you work for President Trump, you're definitely under him. They made fun of him. I don't know if you remember that because...
They had that picture with him and his evil wife holding the money.
And Timothy Geithner also had a little bit of a snafu too because he said he had to work on his signature to make it legible. And then Jacob Lew, who was after Geithner, his signature was so comical that people laughed at it. Apparently, like a big doodle or something. So this is a little. A little piece of trivial information that will beguile us for a moment or two.
Bill Nye, the Science Guy, got married this week.
Oh, I pity that woman.
He married former Washington Post reporter Liza Monday. In late May they got married. They just announced it here.
So, oh, wow.
But it just leaked out. So apparently there was chemistry between them.
Oy.
Nye honored his late father, who died in 1997, by wearing cufflinks with small blue stones in the center that belonged to him. Hmm. He also wore a black tuxedo with an orange boutonniere, the signature bow tie, of course. And so there it is. He's 66 years old and just got married.
Good for him. Was he, had he been married before?
I don't know. It didn't sound like it, but I would think so. We could look it up, but I don't really care.
Hey, the first national, first visitor center within the National Park System dedicated to LGBTQ history will honor and explore the history of the 69 Stonewall Uprising.
Oh, cool.
It's going to open in 2024, just in time to be shut down again. The Stonewall National, I'm sorry to be so down, such a downer.
Burned to the ground.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to open in 2024. It's going to be called the Stonewall National Monument Visitor Center, and it's going to be in a vacant storefront in Greenwich Village next door to the Stonewall Inn Bar, which was designated a national monument in 2016. So the goal, according to the National Park Service, is to create a place that honors both the bravery and courage of the past five decades of the movement, also motivating the next generation of leaders.
Oh, very cool. Well, he was acting Secretary of Defense under Donald Trump. Christopher Miller called a high-ranking Italian official and asked if Italian satellites were changing votes from Trump to Biden because Trump had scoured the internet and found a conspiracy theory that said that.
Wow.
Call those Italians and ask if they're doing that.
I just have this image of somebody in the Italian defense ministry answering it. And it's like, tell him we are. Okay.
Yeah, shouldn't we have done that?
We're really sorry. I'm glad you think that we're evil international masterminds. That'll be $1 billion.
Do you want us to find some votes for you?
Yeah, right. Man. Tell him, yeah.
Ohio State University has received a trademark for the word the.
Yes, the Ohio State University.
The Ohio State University.
Yep, you bet. Well, I mean, it's an issue. You can talk to Jaguar about this. I mean, the college that he went to, is Ohio University in Athens, Ohio. And it's an Ohio State University as well.
It's not the Ohio.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They wanted to make it not a description, but a name. Yeah. And so they thought, well, how can you make what sounds like a description a name? And so they decided they put the in front of it. And you're ready to go.
And copyright it.
Yeah. And then copyright it, exactly.
Yeah. Ben and Jerry's wants its cows to stop belching and releasing other gases.
Yeah.
You know what kind of the gases those are.
Methane.
The Vermont-based ice cream maker said it plans on changing the diet of on 15 of its farms in order to reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
Yep. No more quesadillas.
According to Ben and Jerry's, cow burps are responsible for releasing a tremendous amount of methane into the atmosphere.
That's what I was just saying. If you eat less meat and drive smaller vehicles, that would help a lot.
They want to suppress the bumps by feeding the animals a cow-tested, cow-approved meal plan, which includes a
cow-approved
high-quality forage diet and innovative feed additives that reduce the generation of methane.
I think that's an overinterpret. I would say cow not refused. Cow-approved seems a little dodgy to me.
They also want to reduce emissions by applying methane reduction technology to the approximately 80 pounds of manure that cows produce on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah, my late father also contributed to that problem. Pull my finger. No, Dad.
That never turns out well. I saw some dumb science fiction movie the other day. It was a time travel thing. And it's actually as big one as that Tenet. It was like Christopher Nolan.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But I don't know. I just thought it was dumb once the time travel stuff kicked in, and they just kind of mentioned this in brief. But apparently the reason the people in the future were screwing with us is because of to stop us from destroying the climate, destroying the,
mm-hmm.
and they were going to do it like with a bomb or something, because mm-hmm. it's Hollywood, you got to have bombs.
Yeah,
and right. It's like, why don't they just like send us really cool technology that would, mm-hmm. like be clean energy or, mm-hmm. scrub the environment of this stuff?
Oh, yeah. So give us something we need rather than trying to off us all.
Yeah.
or if they wanted to try to stop us from making things problematic, I mean, just introduce more plastic into our systems. Oh, wait, we're doing that ourselves. Here's that question. They always ask that question. Would you rather travel into the future or into the past?
Yeah.
And I'm definitely a travel into the past guy. And the reason why is because there are so many things that we think we know about the past and that are stories that help us understand who we are at present that are often false or misleading in some way. And so I would love to be able to find out sort of like what happened, what really happened, what were people thinking, what were people doing, and so on, because it helps us understand who we are today. What about you? Are you a future-oriented or a past-oriented?
I don't know. Probably future.
See how it turns out?
Like those moving sidewalks and the, you know, the robots that clean up after you.
Yeah, right. Well, one thing that made me think of this was there was a story that came out this week that talked about when Mount Vesuvius erupted, you know, the famous eruption that buried the ancient city of Pompeii. There's a study by Italian authors that was made public just yesterday. Gives way to the theory that shifts the date of the eruption by a couple of months to the end of October, even early November. And it says that this, among other things, this discovery during a recent excavation of a charcoal inscription on a wall where somebody had written down the date. Now, I don't know what to make of that, because it could have been like, you know, that's the day I need to pay my taxes or something.
Right.
Why someone would write something on the wall? Yeah. It could be for all sorts of reasons.
And Jenny's phone number.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was so the inscription on the wall that they discovered during their recent poking around in the ruins of Pompeii said October 17th, AD 79. Of course, it didn't say AD 79 because that's not how in ancient Rome, they calculated the year from ad urbe condita, from the founding of the city of Rome. So it wouldn't have said AD 79, but that was what it translated into. So the inscription is certainly dated after August 24th, which is the date that's used by generations of scholars, starting with Pliny the Younger, who gave an account of the eruption. And so people have been nosing around in Pompeii now since the mid-1700s. 1748 was when the first excavations began, but they think it's a little bit later. So what it actually said is, here's the translation from Latin. This is the 16th day before the calends of November. He indulged in food in an immoderate way. Someone felt the necessity of having to document that, apparently.
Who ate the last piece of pizza?
Yeah, not me. Yeah.
Recessions can have an effect on the diet of people. People tend to eat less protein and fewer green vegetables and more sugar and fatty foods during a recession.
Yeah.
And this was a study of the Great Recession. That was the George W. Bush or George... W. Bush.
Yeah, so. W.
But his recession that almost crashed the economy because it was fun. And
that W was really kind of described the economy during his administration, because it was good when he took over, and then it crashed, and then it kind of went up again, and then crashed again. So,
but they found that it has a major negative impact on dietary behaviors in both adults and children.
Now, why would that be? I see things like that and are correlated, and you're wondering what that could be, the possible causal agent there, if there is one even. Speaking of such things, there's a massive longitudinal study that's going on right now trying to figure out what the effect of long-term high temperatures might be on human beings. In the times that human beings have been on this earth, they've never had to be exposed to temperatures quite this high, quite this long, on such a wide area. And so people aren't sure exactly what will happen to humans in those situations. Some of the studies so far, in early studies with young, healthy people, they put them in specially designed chambers where they pedal an exercise bike at low intensity, and then they dial up the heat and humidity. And this is the former Nazis that are doing this. No, they found their subjects started overheating dangerously at much lower temperatures, the so-called wet bulb temperatures, where you're combining heat and humidity, and than they expected. Effectively, under steam bath conditions, this is according to one of the researchers, our bodies absorb heat from the environment faster than we can sweat to cool ourselves down. And unfortunately for humans, we don't pump out a lot more sweat to keep up. Not good. What are some of the effects of excessive heat? Apart from heat stroke, you can have problems with cardiovascular collapse, kidney failure. It damages your organs, cells, and it can even damage your DNA. And people who are very young and people who are very old are, of course, especially affected. Speaking of being affected.
Here's a headline. Cancer specialists turning to same artificial intelligence programs used by Netflix. Great, they're going to treat cancer with the Adam Sandler movies. Maybe throw in a Ryan Reynolds once
yeah,
in a while.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As long as it's not Robin Williams with the red nose, I'll be fine. What was the name of that movie? I can't even remember now.
Patch Adams.
Patch Adams. Thank yeah, you. Thank yeah. you. There's a tremble went down my spine there just thinking about it. Hi, I'm funny. No, you're not. Not get over yourself. Got another little story from ancient history. This is a restoration of a 17th century wall painting of ancient Jerusalem. One of the Colosseum's main interior arches. People don't realize that there was a lot of stuff that happened between ancient Rome and today. And one of the things that happened right away is that basically the Colosseum got decommissioned after it was, after the Christians won and the Christians, trounced the lions, they said, well, what do we do with this? And so it actually was made into a church. It was consecrated as a church after, after the last Roman emperor was done. And they took out the marbles, which is why it's in the bad shape it's in. A lot of ruins that you see of buildings are not because they were actually old. They're ruined because people didn't have ready-made materials for making new buildings, and they stole them from old buildings.
Oh, okay.
Or like as in Athens with the Parthenon, the Parthenon only looks like a big wreck because it was blown up during a war that the Europeans had with the Ottoman Turks in the 1600s. They fired on it, basically. But they've discovered in doing some of the work of restoration of when the Colosseum was, in effect, a Christian monument used for religious processions and so on, they found some paintings. And some of these are in odd places. For example, there's a very beautiful painting that's right over the door where the gladiators would march in back mm-hmm. in the time. And it's, of course, a picture of Jesus doing some Jesus-y thing. And but they're restoring a lot of these. Starting in the 14th century, two different Christian groups became affiliated with the Colosseum and started putting representations of the Passion of the Christ on its walls.
Oh. And some sad clowns, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's the Colosseum. Sad clowns are appropriate.
That's a nice segue into a Ron Johnson story.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Johnson was a reporter was trying to get his attention this week
because
his name came up a couple times in the news this week, and Johnson said, "I'm on the phone." He's talking into his phone, and then the reporter said, "No, you're not. I can see your screen."
I think before he said that, he should have maybe like put the phone to the other ear or something. I don't know.
I just love that.
Yeah. So, at any rate, got to mention again that there is going to be a rally today. We have this on good authority from 5 to 8 on the State Street steps of the Capitol in support of Roe v. Wade and, of course, in opposition to the decision that was handed down today by the United States Supreme Court. So, I see you're looking at a story there that says abortion will be immediately banned in 13 states as a result of this ruling. Does that include us?
It doesn't, for some reason. I don't know. I'm just skimming it right now.
So. Yeah.
We're listed as the fate of abortion rights remains uncertain, which I thought that 1849 law would kick in. But.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because the special session has been called. It's in sort of a in between.
Didn't they gavel that in and gavel that out?
Did they already do that?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, well, all right. There's probably legal challenges to it, I would imagine, though.
Yeah,
it'll be coming.
We got a little table here. Wisconsin has a pre-Roe abortion ban that the Democratic governor and Democratic attorney general say they will not enforce.
So. Oh, unenforced.
So.
It's hard to do this show when there are events. Have you noticed that?
This is a bad one.
It's a huge one, you know. I mean, it really is. And again, it's not just, as you pointed out by citing some of the claims from Clarence Thomas. I mean, who knows what will happen, but it seems very likely that if the legal underpinning for Roe is itself what has been destroyed, then there's lots of other rights that people have that have made this country what it is now in so many ways that will be actually also potentially available for repeal.
Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court, when I listed the things they ruled on this week, they also threw out a New York gun control. So it was like a pro NRA things, the repeal of Roe v. Wade.
Sure, if you shoot your fetus, it's fine.
Separation of church and state, and Miranda rulings. Yeah. I mean, those are four pretty big rules. So.
Well, they paid for it. They got it.
Yeah. Are you doing the show?
Yeah, I'm doing the show.
All right. The other Mr. S, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
The other Mr.
S. I forgot who you were for a minute there. But no Jaguar?
No, he's busy.
Okay, he's busy. So
what could be more important than doing this show?
All right.
I want to just thank all the people that have pledged to our show. She Who Must Be Obeyed was showing me some of the totals for the different programs, and I would say I'm very proud of the Mel and Floyd listeners for stepping up and putting the cash in the kitty.
Well, everybody for the whole station. I mean,
yeah, it was great.
Did really well on the
wonderful response.
We managed to put away a little money for our new boards, which is our big thing now. So, all right, we have to get out of here. Time to declare. Time to declare the weekend. Oh, very good. So, all right, stick around. The other Mr. S is here, but first the kiosk. Have a great week. Talk at you next Friday. You are listening to WRT 89.9 FM, Madison. The girl over there with the hot